Have you ever wondered what life is like for a phone sex operator? Well, you've come to the right place for something a little sexy. Join me, Celine Starr, as I traverse the wide world of sex and sex work in a positive, sexy way. Sponsored in part by the Fable Beard Company, this is Whimsical Sexperts. Hi there. Welcome to Whimsical Sexperts. I am, of course, Celine, and this is my third episode of this podcast, and I wanted to do something a little different today. So, oh, by the way, I did get some updates to my hardware technology, so hopefully you all notice a little bit of a difference in my sound. Hopefully it's a little cleaner. If there's anything that you notice is wrong, don't hesitate to let me know. I love that feedback. But today, we're going to discuss something that I hadn't planned to discuss. It's just been on my mind and present in my conversations over the past few weeks, and that is toxic masculinity and male sexuality and how they impact each other and why they're bad together. Of course, toxic masculinity as a whole is not a good thing at all, but when you pair it with misconceptions about male sexuality, it can be downright harmful, and it can impact men for their entire existence. From birth to death, they will always have this view of their own sexuality, and sometimes it can be really negative. I haven't always been really open to understanding or even having a viewpoint on this. So I know this is a really odd subject to take on as a woman in a very masculine world. Why should I feel sorry for a man? A man can do anything. They can get any job. They can be paid fairly for that job. They can be listened to with more authority. There are so many things that men get just because they're men. Why should I care that their sexuality suffers because of this? I live with a man. I love a man. I have loved more than one man. And every man in my life that I have loved or have been in love with or just have had acquaintances with, they all suffer from the same stigma of what it is to be a man today and what they should be doing as a man, and how that impacts them and their sexuality and how they live their lives. So I was totally blind to the fact that men actually have issues in their sex life. I just thought they were goon brains that got whatever they wanted whenever they wanted. That's not necessarily true. Now, that was the case for me in my circle of friends, swingers, polyamorous people. People that are very open with their sexuality, I never really understood that there would be a secret under what men actually wanted, that not all men actually want to have threesomes and foursomes. Hey, they're great. But they have other kinks and fetishes that usually are more ignored and they are less addressed, or they are not outrightly sought as a male fantasy or a male kink. I was super naive. I had no idea that they struggled on such a level that when I get callers who are there to confess to me of certain things that are just not acceptable in their lives, it's painful to imagine that a human has to live behind this very structured idea of what their sexuality should be. We get it as women too, just not to the same extent. Men are often put into roles that they do not choose. I never noted this before. Every man, from the time that they're very young, they're taught that they should be the provider, that they should be the person with the power in their relationship. They should be assertive and manly and strong and smash. The barbarian, the warrior, Conan. Every man is taught to be Conan the Destroyer, when they're little. Only, don't you know that Conan was a slave? He was a slave when he became a man. And so his views on what it is to be a man are all based on slavery. Conan was imprisoned. It's an odd thing to say and an odd parallel to make, but it's very relevant. My idea of what a man should be was initially shaped by my father. Most people, whether they be men or women, their views on what it is to be a man and what a man should do in a relationship are shaped in their very young years by their father, their grandfather, their uncles, men that are prevalent in their life. And right now, we're coming out of a generation of men who hide their feelings and tell each other that it's okay to not be truthful with themselves and to not be open. We live in that generation. We can make a change, but we have to realize that it needs to change. I always thought that men had freedom to do just as they pleased. What I didn't know is that they don't. There is so much pressure on a man to just be a man. And when I say just be a man, it's not a simple thing. It's so complicated. And they try to navigate this hyper-masculine world that we live in. And a lot of men are not fit for this hyper-masculine world that they've created for themselves. Men in the past have made so hyper-masculine to fit their needs that they didn't think about what today's men would be like. So how we think as a society really does impact that view on male sexuality. As a woman, I feel like I have more of an open chance to say, hey, I'm bisexual. I like to sleep with girls. I like to sleep with guys. It's kind of my thing. Society accepts me more when I open my mouth and say that than say a man who opens their mouth and says, I don't want to sleep with women at all. I just want to be with men. Or I really love women. Women are lovely. You know, they're sexy. But men are sexy too. I really love men. They're very sexy. Men can't say that. I don't feel like as a man, you can eye your waiter with your female partner, even if you're openly gay, share thoughts about that waiter later on without having some insecurity about that. Even if you're flaming gay, unless you've completely accepted your life and you're completely open about it with everyone and everything, you still have that internal feeling of maybe you're betraying something. You're betraying yourself. You're a traitor to your gender. Gender traitors. I do love myself some Handmaid's Tale. As a rule, women have an easier time being fluidly sexual than men do. They're very rigid in what they're expected to do. That is harmful in so many ways. Because we as people desire to do so many different things and fulfill things, and we're curious. Having that rigid male sexuality really does make everything harder for men to open up about. It hurts us all because it makes men angry and angsty. It makes them not understand what we go through as women, and they sexualize us a lot more, or they envision us as a role they can't achieve and they want to emulate that. But they don't really know what it is to be feminine or a woman or even to be in love with another man. They just fantasize about it. They think about it often. And I came across this a lot when I first started phone sex work. It was very surprising to me. My idea of what I would be talking about as a phone sex operator would be, you know, things that they would want to do to me. What I didn't understand is that most of them have a fantasy about being with another man. And sometimes that includes me. Sometimes it just doesn't. And that's what they call me for. So it was always very surprising. We feel society should be open and accepting in progressive times, but we are regressive in sexuality oftentimes, even in today's world. Even as we progress forward and we accept things like homosexuality, polyamory, multiple partners, people being able to express themselves fluidly through sex, but it's not really that way. There are still so many stigmas to overcome and so many gates to open before we can truly be set out to pasture and experience everything in life and everything that life has to offer. It's just so controversial. Controversy dominates the headlines and has definitely pushed sexuality forward, but sometimes not always in a positive light. It can be in a very negative light. Oftentimes when you see a celebrity, for instance, who comes out and openly tells people about their sexual preference and, hey, if you see me out with so-and-so, it's because I like dudes. You know, I like to date girls. I like to date guys. But the headlines focus in on that change as a negative thing when we should be celebrating that openness. I see a lot of crazy headlines that internally I read them and I read these articles about different celebrities who have been in certain relationships and now their relationships are coming forward as, hey, this is what happened during our relationship. It was really abusive. It was not consensual. It was not what I planned. When I can believe that because it seems like those kinks and fetishes that may not be accepted in normal society, they go under the radar, and Hollywood has the ability to kind of circumvent the norm and act out. And then later on, they can say, oh, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry about that. That wasn't what I meant at all because I don't want to hurt my career. Or these women are just slandering me because they want to kill my career. So I'm allowed to be a pedophile and have 16-year-old girls in my basement tied up all day long. And that's okay because I'm a celebrity. And I'm going to tell you right now that that was all consensual and it didn't really happen. Oh, but maybe that didn't happen because I want to save my career. So it's so controversial, these kinks, fetishes, needs, and that, to me, having an interaction with anyone who is underage is non-consensual and it's against the law. But there are a lot of other things in these relationships like dominance and submission, kinks like ropes and binding, tying, commanding, pet play, all of these different fetishes. Celebrities aren't alone. they have those fetishes and so do we as normal people. They just get found out a lot easier when an ex-girlfriend leaves someone and they're like, they kept me in a dog cage for 6 hours calling me a pretty puppy and mooning over me. Now, that's not any particular story that I'm aware of. But it still holds true that even in high society or rich society, people can't live their lives openly. They can't put a collar on their partner and put a chain on that collar and lead them around outside in a way that would please them mentally and may even please their partner mentally. But it's such a spectacle that they can't risk it. So it's not just the common man, it's every man. Now, how does society actually view male sexuality? Society and the world, they put men in a box when it comes to sexuality. As a man, and please do correct me if I'm wrong, if you're listening to this podcast and you are a man and you'd like to discuss this with me in more detail, hit me up on Twitter. It's going to be at the end of this podcast. You know where to find me. But the world puts men in a box with 4 corners and no round edges. So if you grow out of this box, you're stuck in it. You can't make the edges bow out anymore. You can't put in more corners. You're stuck in this box where you're expected to put your cock in a vagina and be done with life as we know it. Like, just that's all you're expected to do for the rest of your life. You're expected to have a big old dick. You're expected to swing it all over the place. You're expected to put it in a bunch of pussies, like female pussies. And you're expected to be a man's man and be very masculine. Hypermasculinity dominates the idea of men's sex, of male sex. There is an overwhelming amount of negativity when it comes to men expressing their sexuality in any way that isn't already acceptable. And it's really sad. Men are expected to show their dominance, swing their dicks around, get all those women, have all the heterosex they want. And men who don't perform this way, it's inevitable that they feel like less, that they feel like they are not part of that man's club. They're so separated from everyone else because their kinks and fetishes are not accepted to the public or to their families or to people as a whole. And they feel judged, and they absolutely are. Other men judge other men. Even if they're just generalizing, they're hurting each other. There's a huge difference between men and women when it comes to this kind of judgment. Women have made freedom of expression almost an art form. We feel pretty open in expressing how we feel, what we feel, talking about our emotions, being in those feelings and experiencing them fully, where I don't feel that men have that same renaissance in expression that women have had over the past few decades. Now, maybe that is because we were so repressed as part of the human race, and we were not given the same rights as men, so we had to learn ways to make that expression stick and to really make our voices heard. But we're often much more accepted when we're open about our sexuality, as opposed to men who do not really have that freedom. We don't get judged as much. When I came out to my parents, they were pretty accepting of me because, well, I had had a partner for many, many years. I came out in 2007. My partner and I were married in 1999. So they had seen me practice that heterosexual norm that they so wanted for my life, of course. And then when I transitioned into letting them know, hey, I've been bisexual since I was 8 years old. I knew that I liked girls and boys that young. It took them a little while to understand it and to grasp it. My mom still doesn't understand why I like to have sex with girls, but that's okay. That's my mom. I don't have to talk to her about that stuff. Ugh, no, thank you. But I don't think men have the same experience. Now, some may. There are definitely exceptions to every rule, and I'm not talking about every single man. I'm very much generalizing the male population as a whole. Women, as a general rule, we have more freedom because we're not under the same hyper-masculine umbrella magnifying everything for us. We're not under that same magnifying glass that men are. There isn't a viewpoint on what we should and shouldn't do in the bedroom, or what we should and shouldn't do with our male partners, because women are almost a fetish all by themselves, right? We're fetishized. We're also objects a lot of the time. So we don't have as many stigmas that are placed upon us, like women should be barefoot and pregnant in the home and raising all the children, and we should only have sex in missionary position, and we should only do it when our partners want to have sex with us, our male partners want to have sex with us because they have to dump their cum somewhere, right? People don't think that way about women. When a woman says, oh, I'm dating this guy and he's really effeminate, but we really connect with each other on a certain level, we watch all these movies, nobody assumes that that woman may be gay or that that woman may have other preferences. But everybody assumes that the man that she's dating is gay. And that the man that she's dating is not really worthy of being dated by a woman. And this happens so often. Men just do not have the same freedom, and they're looked at with such scrutiny. They're under an extreme amount of pressure. Of course, as women, we certainly lack in other outlets. We lack in so many other areas of life. But when it comes to sexuality, it's not so bad. A lot of my callers, as a phone sex operator, call me to confess. They call me to tell me what it is that they're thinking of, what it is that's getting them off, and sometimes they're miserable about those things that they're thinking about. They just want to have someone to discuss it with because they can't be outed. If they start talking about what they like in their circle of friends, there is this extreme fear of being outed to them and being a spectacle to them, as opposed to the understanding of the freedom of openness, of just being able to express what you want and what you desire, and just either being accepted for it or not being accepted for it, not letting it bother you. Men allow that fear to control them. It keeps them in prison. It's like Conan shackled to the wheel, turning and turning and turning as he grows older, being grunt labor for just milling and milling and milling around. He's controlled quite literally, but figuratively. All men are in shackles when it comes to their sexuality, and they aren't allowed to live openly. And so what if a man likes to put a dress on? Why does that make them less of a man? Why does wearing women's underclothes make a man less of a man? It doesn't. That man is still a man. His chromosomes still say that he's a man. It is society's viewpoint of how he should act and how he should behave that has caused that to be a problem. Sorry to interrupt. This episode is brought to you in part by The Fable Beard Company. Just to let you know, the wizard at Fable has been conjuring up some amazing scents to titillate your fantasy. Let his expertise take you and those close by on an adventure with every whiff. Don't have a beard? No worries. Their lush oil is so fantastic for hair strength and growth. I can't get enough of it on my own hair. So why not give them a shot? You can save 15% by using my discount code SEXANDWHIMSY15. That's SEXANDWHIMSY15 at fablebeardco.com. Once more, FABLEBEARDCO.com. And now back to your episode. That fear of not being accepted and being pushed out or losing is all encompassing. And it happens with women too, but with men, that's my audience for the most part, is a male listener. When I'm a phone sex operator and I find their lack of being able to open up in their lives to be very, very sad. It's very unfortunate. You know, open living is an enigma to most men. They wouldn't even know how to begin to open up their lives and accept themselves as they really are. And just be truthful to everyone around them instead of lying to themselves every day that they are satisfied and happy in their lives and it keeps them from talking to their partners or finding the right partner, even if they're single. They may be looking for something that brings them up in social stature instead of catering to their own desires. But the liberation of being open to your partners or anyone is totally mind-blowing. When you find that one person or that three person or four persons that you can be completely honest with and say, hey, let's go panty shopping because I would really love to have some nice new pretty panties to wear. Wouldn't you? Or, hey, can you show me that trick with your eyelashes? They look really good and I want to wear lashes too. Men can't say that to women. Or if they do, they're pegged as gay. Or they're pegged as being less than a man. Maybe they are, but they haven't expressed that because they're afraid. Not that they're less than a man. Though a lot of my clients, they would rather be less than a man. They have a viewpoint on their masculinity and their sexuality that they are not real men and they don't deserve to be real men and they're just beta as fuck. Okay, there's a place in sexuality for betas too. Usually that place is me describing what exactly they can do with their best friend's cock and how that would please me. But there's room for everyone. And the liberation of being open to people that you trust and people that you know is priceless. So I wanted to take a few minutes in this podcast and talk about common fetishes that men have that you may not think about very often. I know that before I became a phone sex operator, these are not things that entered my mind. I just didn't have a concept of why a man would want to do these things. Because as a woman, you know, I view a man who isn't gay as a masculine figure that does all of these toxic masculine traits that we were talking about. I didn't fathom that it could be different until I started to talk to men who want their lives to be different, who would desperately love it if they had more acceptance in their life. It stirred me a little, and that's kind of why we're having this podcast now, is it does deeply motivate me to encourage people to live more openly. Even if that hurts you in some way, let it free you. So one of the common fetishes that I never thought of, never ever, before coming to this line of work is femininity, feminization, and men. Feminization is the act of becoming more of a woman and playing that sexual role that a woman plays in bed, in life, in an interaction. They want to be more womanly and they want to transition into being a woman. But some of them do this not out of the desire to actually be a woman. So they are not trans people. They are men that have a fetish of being feminized. Now, maybe this is because they are hyper-masculine in their real life, or maybe it is because they've been told that they aren't good enough to be a man, or maybe it's just because they like to wear nail polish. Why does it really matter? Who cares why your neighbor wants to wear satin panties? They just want to do it, and it gets them off, and it makes them feel good, and it hurts absolutely nobody. And I love feminization. I didn't understand it before I started taking phone sex calls. I had no clue that men would want to cross-dress and speak to a woman about how cross-dressing made them feel. I didn't know that men would call me and ask me to help them pick out their outfits. Or I didn't know that they would say, "Do I look pretty in this lingerie? Can you show me how to put my lipstick on the right way?" Those concepts never occurred to me before becoming a phone sex operator because it didn't have a part in my life. It did, but Celine's not ready to tell that story. She may never be ready to tell that story. You may ask, but I'm going to keep that one under my hat. For some, this exploration and feminization is a way to experience that thing that they desire. Being able to be feminine, or maybe it's being feminine to appeal to a man so that they can experience being with a man for the first time. You know, what does it feel like to give a man a blowjob? What does it feel like to be caressed by those rough, strong hands? What does it feel like to be in the room with what they consider to be an alpha male and to be in service for them? What does a man's cum taste like? What does it taste like after it's been inside of a woman? There are so many different things that sissification and feminization lead into, and a lot of it is just self-exploration. It is, what do I like? How do I like it? How do I get there? There being climax or fulfillment of some sort. Sometimes this is the way that a trans woman explores her womanhood, is by being coached by someone who knows, by another woman who knows, by breaking out of their masculine shell to ask questions and to trust that the person who's answering them has their best interests at heart. A lot of men are afraid to break free of their social stigmas. They're really afraid of what may happen if they fully embrace this feminization and say they walk out to their job with their nails done, or they decide that they want to wear lipstick and eyeshadow out shopping one day while they're just going grocery shopping. They get a bunch of weird looks. It's definitely not the same if a woman puts on a pantsuit and walks out to do her grocery shopping. There is a difference there. And that's why a lot of men are afraid to completely embrace their feminine traits or even to explore them, is they don't want to be judged. There's so much judgment for men who want to suck cock, wear pretty underwear, and get their nails done. And it's totally unnecessary. People are people, and they should be allowed to be the person that they desire. No one should tell you how to live your life unless you're infringing on others or breaking the age of consent, because children cannot consent. Unless your life is hurting someone else, it shouldn't be a problem, but it is. Something else that's a big, big deal in the world of men's sex and the difference between men and women are the large dick size. Like, men are fascinated with their dicks. They are completely obsessed with how big their dick is, as opposed to how big their next door neighbor's dick is, how big the dick is that I'm fucking. And they don't really understand that, yes, a big dick feels pretty amazing, but I've had a 10-inch dick try to split me open from the inside, and I felt like it was going to come through the top of my skull. So I can tell you that big dick energy may be a real thing, but you got to know how to use that motherfucker. Otherwise, you might just hurt somebody. But that's off topic. Really, what I'm getting at is that men are hyper-focused on their dick size. And they think that every other man is hyper-focused on their dick size as well, which is not always the case. Some men don't even think about their dicks. Some men don't think about anything else. A large penis doesn't denote a fantastic lover. Not that it doesn't always feel good. But for some reason, the men that I speak to who are obsessed with their small penises, and I'm talking men who have anywhere from a 2-inch dick to a 6-inch dick. I've had a man with a 6-inch dick tell me he thinks that he has the smallest penis on the planet. Really. I know some of you would love to have 6 inches down there. But when he told me that, I had to stop myself from laughing, because it doesn't matter how big or small your dick is. It's how you make your lover feel and how effective you are at being a good lover, regardless of gender. Big dick energy is for anybody. For man, for woman. And men with big dicks, they don't often think about what that means for them. They just don't care. I guess maybe that's the difference between men who have micro penises, which, trust me, I've spoken to plenty of men who have had cocks that are 2 inches or maybe non-existent entirely. And I've even had experiences in my real life with micro penises. Funny enough, the man that I had an experience with who had a micro penis, he also had a wife who he adored, and she was gorgeous. And when I talked to him about what his fetishes were, what he really wanted to do was see her get fucked by a big dick. Those were quite literally his words. He wanted to see his wife be filled and satisfied by a big old cock, and that was the thing that got him off the most. Because he felt like that's not something he could achieve, and he wanted to see it done. That's a good man. But at the same time, that thinking is a product of our society. Talking about feminization too, we'll get off the subject of big dicks because I talk about big dicks way too often for my own comfort. There's a difficulty for men who are not really men. They are trans. They're misgendered. There is a very huge difficulty for men when they go to transition from being male to female. And most often, misgendered people are cornered into their gender. Their family are not accepting of them being transgender, or their family opted for genderification surgery when they were little, and so their gender was chosen for them before birth even. And it's very difficult for people who feel like they're stuck in the wrong position in life, that they're being forced into a mold that they don't fit in, to transition out of that mold because it's like a corner. There's no way out. You have to walk forward, and walking forward is scary and hard. Most misgendered folk have trouble climbing out of the trap that our hetero norms have caused. And that's that hyper-toxic masculinity where men have to be men and there can't be anything in between. There is no middle gender where so many different cultures, even in our current society, they recognize multi-gendered people, people who are both male and female, and who fit both roles. We have Native Americans and Indians and Asians who understand that there is something deeper than just two genders. But this is why men turn to confessionals and therapy and things like that to attempt to reprogram themselves so that they can be more masculine. They feel like they have to run out and get a therapist and have that therapist tell them, well, you can do this, this, and this to be more of a man. Or, yes, this is not the right way to live your life. Here, let me help you be more manly. And a lot of them come to me with confessions of, I think about my roommate's dick all the time. I really want to suck his dick for him. And I want to tell him that I want to do that, but I can't. I can't even talk to him about it. I'm afraid that he might punch me in the face if I even say that to him. And I'm sure his roommate would not be flattered that this man wants to suck his cock. But why is that? Why, when a man says, I want to suck your cock, does that make you want to punch him in the face as a heterosexual man? Maybe you're not into dudes, but that's no reason to punch a dude in the face because he finds you attractive. You should find it rather flattering. But male-to-female transitions sometimes start out so deep in the closet that they need to have outlets to break out of that from time to time. That closet is so dark, and it's so suffocating and it's so heavy that they need a place to put that down. Sometimes that's me, and I am really proud to say I accept those calls with just as much enthusiasm as I accept any other call. I want to be your confessional. I hope that you have someone to confess to, someone to talk to about your urges and your desires, someone to talk through it with you to make it more realistic and perhaps less of a fantasy and more of something that you can put into practice in your life. Because with fantasy versus reality, sometimes I even have trouble understanding with my clients whether they actually want to live their fantasy or if they just want their fantasy to live within them. Sometimes they don't want those fantasies to be real, which is also a product of our upbringing and our hyper-masculine world. Fantasy versus reality. Do they even want those fantasies to come to fruition? That's a real question. It's true. A lot of my clients only want to fantasize about being a woman, and they tell me that right up front. They're so uncomfortable about it. They'll tell me, oh, I just want to think about it. I want to think about being a girl. I don't actually want to be a girl. I just want to think about what it is to experience that, what it might be like to have a pussy, or what it might be like to be in a relationship with a heterosexual man and have them treat me like a heterosexual woman. I am not joking. These are actual things that I have had to talk about on a call. They want to think about them, but they don't want to make them real, which is okay too. I don't judge anyone for that. I just wish that they could live their lives much more openly than they do now. These kinks and fetishes that they discover, they need an outlet for that. And everybody does. Like, I like it when somebody bites me or somebody ties me up or somebody listens to me because I'm very dominant. With men, these fantasies that may or may not be accepted in their society, well, they can't live that fantasy out. It can only be fantasy, and they only think of it as fantasy. They never truly intend to live out any of these things that make their cocks hard. But discovery takes courage. Discovery takes courage. You have to be bold to discover new things about yourself. You have to be fearless to go out and experience the things that really make your brain tick and your cock twitch, or for women, that make you wet, 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 wet. And sometimes overcoming that fear and that insecurity is impossible for women and men. But that's because dangerous, toxic stigmas like this, they breed closeted men. So our stigmas that we have in society about what makes a sex partner and what makes a sexual experience and what is lawful and legal when it comes to sex, and I'm not talking about anything to do with minors or animals because they cannot consent, but what is lawful between consenting adults, those things are based on the idea that a man has sex with a woman, that woman is there to be his cum dumpster, and he is just there to swing his dick around whenever he wants. I really feel that way, honestly. I feel like most of our practices in general are dictated by those simple thoughts. They're very dangerous. All the things you're taught as a boy about what it is to be a man, throw it all out. Get rid of it. It's okay to cry. It's okay to feel. It's okay to talk. It's okay to question. It's okay to think about other things that may not be quite so normal or in the society's norms. Get rid of them all. Live your life a little more freely. Don't worry about what your neighbor's going to think, what your mom's going to think, what your boss is going to think. Do it in an ethical way. Be slow about it. Be methodical, feel people out, and try to live more openly. It'll make you live longer. Well, in most cases, it will help your heart grow and it'll make you feel more content with yourselves. If we don't change the practices that are happening, we're going to raise another full generation of men who hurt themselves and hurt others with these practices. Men who rape women because they have to feel hypermasculine, or they stay in the closet and they make each other miserable because they have to feel hypermasculine. They belittle women when they just want to be a woman, because we have these views and we raise our children to view things the same way. This issue, if we don't stop it, it's not going to stop. Nothing will happen unless we do more to deprogram the concept of what it is to be male and what it is to have a sex life, when we should be focusing more on sexuality in general and being more accepting with each other for our different kinks and fetishes, instead of labeling each other as freaks. Just embrace the fact that everyone likes things a little bit different. Sometimes we find our counterparts and sometimes we don't. It doesn't matter if we're male or female. What we like is what we like, and what we want to explore should be open to everyone. It doesn't need to just be a woman thing or a man thing. We should open the gates and let everyone out and make sure that everyone is happy and excited and really engaged in what they love most. We need to start acceptance early. Start accepting as families and parents, and be accepting of other adults as well that may not be in your family circle. Open your mind up to a new way of thinking. Feel open enough to talk about your sexuality and to have conversations. That's all, really. Just a few little thought bites on what's been going on around me and what's really been drilled into my mind. I feel so strongly for my clients who have no other outlet, and I am so proud to be an outlet for them and to be an outlet for anyone who needs to be liberated and who can't. Stay tuned for more information on where to find me and how to contact me. And as usual, thanks for listening. I hope you have a sexy and salacious day. Thanks for listening in. To get regular updates, exclusive content, and to engage with me directly, find me on Twitter at sexandwhimsy. That's the at symbol and then SEXANDWHIMSY. Share this with your divergent friends, as each episode is completely free and easy to find on any platform that you use to listen to podcasts. As a quick reminder, this podcast is sponsored by the Fable Beard Company. Remember, you can save 15% on your order by using my code SEXANDWHIMSY15 at fablebeardco.com. If you find yourself wanting more, come join me every Sunday for a new episode. Let me know you've listened in by tapping in on Twitter or whimsicalsexperts.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you have a sexy and salacious day.